Where is our focus? We need to each ask ourselves that. Where is our focus? On the delicacies and merchandise of Babylon or on the kingdom of God? How careful we must be. How we must guard ourselves against being captured by this seductress. She is seducing us. Even as Jay said, we're being assaulted with evil. She's trying to capture. She's doing all she can. And we're living in the very worst possible place it is to be seduced. Which means we have to be stronger. We have to be strong. We cannot give ourselves over to it. We cannot linger in it and think we can come back out. We, of course, have temporal needs. There's no doubt about that. Each one of us have needs. The people in Kenya have houses. Don't feel guilty that you own a house. People in Kenya have to go places. They take taxis and buses. They need transportation. Don't feel guilty if you have to have transportation. We have temporal needs in our lives. And we can't feel guilty about those. We also have desires in our lives. And we live in a land of plenty. Everything is available to us. But we're warned. And we need to remember the warning. We need to heed the warning so that we do not find ourselves caring only for the things of the flesh and forgetting the kingdom. It says, seek ye first. First, the kingdom of God. And then you're just going to go poor. No? Then all things that you stand in need of will be added unto you. You will not go without the needs of life if you put first the kingdom of God. We need to face the fact. We are rich. We have opportunities that others only dream of. But is that a hindrance to our salvation? Do we allow it to be a hindrance to our salvation? Or do we guard ourselves against it? Today we partook of the sacrament. We said we're willing to be obedient to His word, His directions. Whose? Jay's? He's the one that gave the opening comments. Are we going to obey Jay's words? Or Frank's? He was in charge. No. His words. God's. The promise was to God. How far are we willing? How far are we willing to be obedient to the commandments that we told Him today that we would do? That we told Him when we were baptized that we would do. Are we ready to serve Him? Are we ready to surrender and sacrifice our will over to Him daily, wholly, completely, all of our heart? Are we willing to do what He asks us to do, even if it is not our desire? Even if it's not what we think we want to do in this life? Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to make that sacrifice? Many say they are, but Scripture shows us the examples of how one's actions speak quite differently. I'd like to take a look at just a couple of Scriptures. Don't turn to them. I'm running out of time. I've got to go fast here, okay? So Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Here it says a man comes and he says, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life?" And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross and follow me." And he was sad and at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He wanted to follow, but he didn't want to give up his possessions. So it grieved him. He was sad. It was too much. In Luke, it says, "And he said unto another, follow me. But he said unto the Lord, suffer me first, go bury my father. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home." Is there any area in your life that you go tell the Lord, "Let me do this first. Let me do this first before I serve you. Let me accomplish this before I give myself over to you. I know you're asking me to do this, Lord, but I want to do this first." Before I keep those commandments, let me do this first. Before I go where you want me to go, let me first do this. Are those things in your life? According to the parables that Jesus told, they should not be. The warning given to us about thinking, our way of thinking, comes from Jesus himself. He says, "And Jesus said unto him, Let no man, having put his hand to the plow and looked back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven." Put your hand to the plow when you said, "I want to be a Christian." You put your hand to the plow and you said, "I will go into the waters of baptism and I will give you my heart, all of my heart. I will keep your commandments, all of your commandments." He's saying, if you look back, saying, "Well, I want to give you all of my heart, but I want to send a little bit of it over here today. Or, boy, I wish I'd have waited 2 more weeks so I could have done this." You're looking back. We know Lot's wife. The desire of her heart. She's fleeing destruction, and she looked back at the city that had the lust of the flesh there, and her desires were there. And it caused her destruction. We laid our hands to the plow, and we said, "Lord, we will serve you with all of our hearts, and we will keep all of your commandments." We can't look back. Say, "I'd like to do this for myself first," or we're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Jesus gave a parable describing how much privileges and blessings hinder his people, how it changes their priorities of life, how they excuse themselves for partaking of what's available to them. I'd like to read that parable. It's in Luke chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 15 through 27. And it goes, "And one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. He said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray that you may excuse me. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray that you excuse me. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed unto the Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the street and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highway and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Here in this story, the rich and the blessed people were too busy, too consumed with the things of life. And they sound important. The guy's got him a new wife. The guy's got him 5 new oxen. He needs to take care of them. But they were too busy in their own lives to come to the Lord's house for supper. So he sent his servants out to another group of people, to the people that weren't too busy, to the poor. I can't help but remember this parable. When I'm chasing 50 people away, they had to walk 5 miles in the morning from 4 o'clock in the morning to get there and send them home. And then when I come to America and I find empty pews, I can't help but think of this parable. I can't help but wonder and be concerned about the people that won't come to in their air-conditioned automobiles to sit in an air-conditioned church on nice pews for an hour. Is the Lord going to have to send his gospel to the poor? He is. It's going there. Do we want him to say that none of those first rich people will ever taste of my supper because they made excuses and they wouldn't come? They wouldn't partake. They were too busy with their riches and their luxuries to be a part. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that this is not a prophecy, it's a warning. It's a warning to us. It gives us an example. It doesn't have to be this way. We don't have to act like those people did. If we seek first the kingdom of God, if we put God first in our lives, if we take every opportunity we have to serve Him, if we go where He sends us without question, if we do what He tells us without question, it does not have to be that way. We have two choices before us. I don't see that we have anything else. Two choices. One is to be a part of Christ's kingdom, and the other is to be a part of the world. And there's no in between. We know the scriptures. It says, no man can serve two masters. God said that and He meant it. We have to choose. What do we want to be? Part of this church of Christ that God restored on this earth, that's going to take it to the world. Remember what I read in the Jacob? It says, his servants rejoiced with him when he gathered them in for the work that was done. They found joy. Each one of us can find our joy when the Lord gathers his servants in. Today, the world is famous for justifying. The world is famous for making excuses for themselves, from the highest authorities and governments to the children and to the churches. It says in Timothy, Paul told Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. Don't be partial. The rules are the same for everyone. We can't expect something for Kenya that we're not willing to do ourselves. We can't expect something for Honduras that we're not willing to do ourselves. We cannot expect somebody to act a certain way in another church that we're not willing to do ourselves. What's right for other people is right for us. If we continue in that text, we read about the last days where there will be false teachers justifying sin, justifying lifestyles that are contrary to God, justify being slack in worship. True believers, true converts will be the minority in the world in the last days. Your ministry have been given a grave responsibility to warn and to teach about this. It says, preach the word. What word is he talking about? My words? No. Jay's words? Bob's words? Gordon's words? No, preach the word of God. Preach God's word. Be instant in season and out of season. Do it when you want to and when you don't. Do it when it feels good and when it doesn't feel good. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. That's how we do it. We don't do it with our own minds. We do it with the doctrine of Christ. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers with itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. You know, I read this scripture. I read this text. And I read this. It says, they will not endure sound doctrine. And that word endure just jumped out at me. What was the application of this word? Endure sound doctrine. What is the application of this word endure? So I examined it a little closer. It means tolerate. They will not tolerate and believe truth. They will not tolerate being told what to do. They will not tolerate complying with the rules and instructions that God has caused them to be written. They will not tolerate the idea you can live in the world and be a part of Christ's kingdom. They're not going to tolerate it. That's the world that we live in today. People are not willing to tolerate the idea that you can't live in both the kingdom of God and the world at the same time. And so they get teachers and preachers that will tell them it's okay. Do anything you want to. Live any lifestyle you want to. Commit any sin you want to. And all you got to do is utter a few words. You don't have to tolerate the doctrine of Jesus Christ, because God just wants you to be happy. Paul told Timothy, all scripture is given for inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect. Perfect. Through furnished in all good works. What are we doing here? We're becoming perfect by sowing righteousness. By doing the things that are right before God, we are trying to become perfect. By following the words of God and His doctrines, we are trying to become perfect. That's why He wrote those things for us. That's why we have God's Word before us. Here's a popular book out today. And I have not read it, but I believe that it's referring to the rapture. And it's called Left Behind. Now, since I haven't read it, I'm not going to criticize the book. What I'm going to do is tell you that the title is intriguing to me. Think about that title. I may not believe in the rapture, but the title is intriguing and thought-provoking. Have you thought about the very concept of being left behind in God's kingdom? Left behind as it moves out to proclaim the gospel to all the world? Do you want to be left behind when Christ comes for His bride? Do we want to be left behind at the first resurrection of the just? Do we want to be left behind because we lost our zeal and enthusiasm about being part of Christ's church restored here on this earth? If you're not serious about your commitment to the Lord, if you're not serious to worship and to attend and to keep His word and His doctrines, then you may be left behind. I don't think any of you showed up here today because you desire to be left behind. But what did we see in those first scriptures? There's only two. Those that will be gathered, that bring forth good fruits, and those that will be burned because they don't. Who's going to bring forth good fruits? Those who have broken up the fallow ground. Those who have planted the word and sown righteousness. Sown in righteousness. Sown in things that are good and right before God. Commitment is what's required of us. Commitment to take advantage of every opportunity that we have to meet and to worship. To hear the word preached, to attend every class, to be involved in every aspect because we've given our heart wholly and totally to God. I remember one day, Moses, we were concerned about Moses. He'd been with us for 5 weeks. And one day we asked him, Moses, we know you're a farmer. And I'm not a farmer, so I really don't know. But to me, I always thought farmers had to do some farming. And you haven't been doing any farming because you've been with us every day. If you need to go home and farm for a day or two, don't be worried about telling us. We can find somebody else. Won't interpret as good as you do, but we will find somebody else to do it. You have to take care of your family and your farm as part of life. He says, I really could use to put my farm in, and I'll take off next Tuesday. And so the next Tuesday, we were meeting in a village. And there's a hill, and it goes down into a ravine, and it goes up to another hill. And Moses lives over here with his farm. There's a long ravine and deep, and over here is where we're going to meet. The people they always manage to come up with, I think Buzz must encourage them to go buy a PA system and rent this so we can let everybody hear us. And so they had this PA system blaring throughout the country. Some crazy reason, Buzz and I on our way over there said, let's do something different today. On Tuesday, the day that Moses wasn't going to be with. Now Moses, every day for the last 4 weeks has been repeating the same thing every day, but all of a sudden this day we decided to do something different. And so I'm there, Buzz is talking, and he talks about something completely different. Then I get up and I'm teaching about Nephi's vision and Lehi's vision and talking about it. And Moses is over there farming on the other side of the ravine, and he can hear that PA system. He's going, they're doing something different. I haven't heard this. I'm sitting there talking, turning around, there's Moses. Smiling ear to ear. big white teeth. He couldn't say, he said, yeah, I just could not stay there and listen and know you guys were over here teaching and I wasn't part of it. That's the kind of enthusiasm we need to have. It's kind of the excitement that we have to have in our life. You know, one day we planned to meet at Margaret's house at 9 o'clock. We were going to go somewhere. And Moses thought it was 10 o'clock. And so we sent our driver to Moses. We sent our driver over to pick up Moses and Margaret at her house. And Moses had left home at 4 o'clock in the morning and started walking to get there by 10 o'clock. And he got to Margaret's and she wasn't there. And I realized, and somebody at her gate said, you know, they already left. You know, they picked her up at 9. Well, he just walked for hours and hours in his suit and his tie. And he knew we were going to meet at the guest house, which was, what, half a mile away. And so he knew he was late. So now he's running to the guest house to meet him. And we'd have waited for him. But he couldn't miss anything. It's kind of the excitement we need to have. Kind of the enthusiasm we need to have. If it's not there, we need to rekindle our enthusiasm. Rekindle it till it's equal to those of the poor. While this invitation to the Lord's feast is still open to us. That we can still enter into the kingdom. That we're not like the five foolish virgins that slumbered and slept. And we're lazy about their commitment. We need to be excited and enthusiastic about whatever our lot is that the Lord calls us to do. Whatever He wants us to do. I'll tell you, not every one of you is going to be sent to a foreign nation to be a missionary, to preach. But it's just as important to have strong locals. It's just as important for you to be a pastor of a local. It's just as important as you to be a Sunday school teacher. It's just as important as you to be occupying a pew and participating in the service. Because without strong locals, there will be no missionary work. Not everyone's going to be a pastor. But each one of us is important to the work. Everyone needs to support the locals, the Sunday school teachers. We need to support them. The meetings and the services we need to support. The other members of the congregation. And in their needs, we need to support them. The pastors of the locals, we need to support them. And the missionaries, we need to support them. And the missionary work, we need to support it. With our prayers, with our finances, with our attendance, and with our participation. They're all equally as important. And there's what we are required to do. It is our reasonable service. Each one of us needs to be excited and enthusiastic about being involved in this church that God restored on earth. Be excited about not being a part of the world, but being part of the kingdom. Are we ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to do whatever it is God asks you to do? I don't know what it's going to be. You may not know what it's going to be. It may be foreign travel. It may be to stay home. It may be to help your local to be strong. Not every one of us is going to get exactly what we want in this deal. I'll confess to you, I absolutely never wanted to be a missionary. That was the last thing I ever wanted to do. Did the Lord care? Obviously not. But He didn't force me to do it. He called me and sent me. I don't know about the rest of you, but He's not going to force any one of us to do what He sends us to do. We're going to have to make that decision. Are we willing to give Him all of our heart? Are we willing to go where He sends us? Be it in the local, be it in a missionary field, be it in a foreign country, be it a Sunday school teacher. Are we willing to do it? And are we willing to be excited about it and happy that we can do whatever the Lord calls us to do? And when we are, we can do His service. This last overhead. Prior to the verse in Hosea's reference, where he told us to sow in righteousness. Prior to this verse, if you read this text, it told that the people there would tread out the corn. They were treading out the corn, but he called them to sow. They were already, in verse 11, doing the treading. Tread out corn means to reap what is there. What is available to you at the time. All the tangible commodities that are there, the present gain, the instant reward, the fruit that was there. They were already collecting that. That was no problem for them to get what was there available to them already. They were already taking the goodness that God has poured out upon them. But he said, don't just take what is given to you. To tread is to take. But he tells us we're to plow, break up that fallow ground, and to sow. To sow. Which means we have to exercise our faith. We have to believe that the good fruit will come forth at some later time, some future time. You will receive what is best, the best fruits, later. It's not an instant reward. It's not an instant gratification. That's treading out the corn. But you're looking forward to the day when you'll receive His reign of righteousness upon you. You're looking forward to the day where you will not be left behind, and He will call you to come with Him and to be His bride. But it requires faith. The bottom of this photo, you see here the Naranda local. It was organized in Kenya on October 15th. This year, it elected Moses as their pastor, and it has 14 baptized members. It's an official local of the Church of Christ. It's good fruit, which sprang up from sowing with your tithes, from your offerings, from your time, from your prayers, and from your faith. I hope seeing the fruit spring forth will cause you all to rejoice. It'll cause you all to examine yourselves and find where you fall short. What ground you have within yourselves, within myself, that needs to be broken up. That's too strong and too firm and too unpliable to receive the good word and the good seed. And to break it up. I hope tonight you will think about what we have. We are blessed. This is the Naranda local. It has wooden planks under an avocado tree. It worships on borrowed land. Pastor Moses walked several difficult miles to come to the service. They have no instruments. They have a few songbooks, one Book of Mormon, and a few Bibles. How much more the Lord has blessed us. Do we recognize it? Do we appreciate it? More importantly, do we do everything we can to support it? Do we seek the kingdom of God first? Or are we too busy and the Lord will have to go to the poor and the maimed? I have an email that I would like to read to you. A portion of an email that was sent to me by Elder Moses Uhuru, the pastor of the Naranda local. Says, he's talking about his local here. He says, my church is doing very well, and still we are receiving new members. Soon we are planning to have the baptism there. Also, we are very much thankful for the plan you made to organize it to be a local church. In behalf of the churches, I take this time to happily and most sincerely extend our appreciation and thankfulness to you and the entire Church of Christ in America and all over the world I thank also God for revealing to you that I should be an elder in the Church of Christ here in Kenya. Since that time I was ordained, God has revealed to me that he was the one who had called me. And still he needs me more for the work here. Please pray for me that I may love Jesus more each day in my life and my family at large, and that we will please him with the work we do here for him. In my home, we have set aside 2 days every week to pray for the people in America, and especially for you and the hard work you have done for us. We love you very much, and we will continue to lift you up, brother, to our Lord in prayer. We all miss you and hope if it be God's will to meet you sometime in the next year. It impresses me that these people in this meet together 2 days every week to pray for us. And we're the ones that are blessed physically. We go through this world and this life only once. What we do or what we don't do with this life will have eternal consequence. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brian. I'd like to thank all those who have prepared the meals during this reunion. I'd like to thank all of you who have taken the time to attend this reunion, for I truly believe that we have been richly blessed. Our closing song this evening will be the Lord's Prayer. We also need to remember Merritt. I guess he's having some problems with his legs, so if you could remember him in your prayers. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the many blessings we have been given. We thank Thee for this time we spent together in this reunion worshiping Thee. And we thank Thee for the admonition that we have received. For we truly have been richly blessed for our attendance here. For taking the time out of this busy world to come unto Thee. The Lord would ask that Thou would forgive us for the sins which we have committed. And help us that we might have a desire to serve Thee and to come close to Thee. The Lord would ask that Thou would be with each name that's been brought before us. That Thou would pour out Thy healing spirit upon each one. That Thou would uplift and strengthen and heal them as they stand in need. We'd ask that Thou would be with our ministry. That Thou might guide and direct them. And be with our missionaries in their work. Be with our people in Kenya. And those in Yucatan, and those in Honduras. And be with them and bless them and uplift and strengthen and guide them. Dear Lord, we'd ask that Thou would be with us as we go back out into the world. That Thy Spirit might be with us to guide us and direct us. And to keep us from harm and danger. And to keep us from the temptations of Satan. Dear Lord, we'd ask that Thou would bless this food that we're about to partake of. And we thank Thee for this food and for all the bounty we have in our lives. Dear Lord, we ask Thy guidance and direction in all things. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good sermon. Thanks.